I'm John Wilkerson, and we are here at Drake's, where before the end of this hour, in fact, I think much sooner rather than later, we're going to be able to reveal to you who the grand prize winner is when it comes to the Bud Light New Year's in Nashville contest. Earlier today, we had last second qualifying up until 5 o'clock. Everybody that had qualified previously has had the chance to get here and sign in and be ready for the reverse drawing that will take place here in just a few minutes. But it is a great crowd on hand, and somebody is going to be on their way to Nashville to ring in the new year, starting on New Year's Eve at the Ryman for the Old Crow Medicine Show concert, and then Saturday, January 1st, be at Bridgestone Arena for the Nashville Predators against Chicago, and still on Sunday, be in Nashville on January 2nd when the Tennessee Titans play host to Miami at Nissan Stadium. So can't wait to reveal who the grand prize winner is and see it, as it will be a reverse drawing before our very eyes. So we're here at Drake's, which is right across Morrell Road from Westtown Mall. Look forward to bringing you comments from Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes, as well as Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper. Nice win for the Lady Vols last night, and even comments from Candace Parker, as she shared some very insightful thoughts on a number of things. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6, and here is what is up for grabs, and that is a $25 gift certificate to Proper Popcorn. It's located 9700 Kingston Pike. They also have a location at 29 Market Square, and you can visit online at properpopcorn.com. Proper Popcorn is a classic concept reimagined, not just a popcorn shop. It's an experience, so you can choose from their 50-plus non-GMO, handcrafted small-batch popcorn flavor combinations and create your perfect popcorn treat. Again, this $25 gift certificate to Proper Popcorn will be yours if you're the first caller with the correct answer to this question. When you take a look at Tennessee players leading the Southeastern Conference in statistical categories, we say congratulations to Velus Jones Jr. as he led the SEC in kick return average. So that is, of course, a special teams crown. What I want from you is, who was the last offensive player? Who was the last Tennessee player to lead the SEC in a category, an offensive category? Who's the last Tennessee player to do it? 656-9900, and I mean, it's an offensive category, not an offensive player who was in special teams, an offensive category. 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Brett. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Brett.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm on my way home.
Well, hopefully it's been a good day.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to go with Arian Foster. I'm going to have to go way back, but I can't think of anyone else.
It is not Arian Foster, but sure to appreciate you calling in, Brett. Have a great night.
You too.
Let's go next to John. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, John. Actually, let's go to David. Hi, David. How are you?
Hey, what's happening?
Doing all right. Hope you are.
Yeah, doing great. Just like the last caller, headed home. One more time, I didn't get a chance to hear the question.
Okay, who was the last Tennessee player to lead the SEC in an offensive category?
Last SEC player, I'm going to go with Sports Talk 990 person there, Eric Ainge.
Not Eric Ainge. It's more recent than Eric, but sure to appreciate it, David. Have a great night. It's Richard who's up next. Hello, Richard.
Good evening, John. How are you?
I'm fine. Hope you can say the same.
Well, let's see how we do. How about Tyler Bray?
A little more recent than Tyler Bray. But, Richard, I sure do appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Let's go next to Michael. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Michael. Actually, let's go to John. Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How y'all doing?
Doing fine. Thank you.
I'm going with Dobbs.
You're correct. In 2016, Joshua Dobbs led the Southeastern Conference in passing efficiency. at 150.6. He was the first Tennessee quarterback to lead the SEC in that category since Heath Shuler in 93, and the last before Shuler was Darrell Dickey in 1985. A total of five quarterbacks have led the Southeastern Conference in passing efficiency, but Josh Dobbs is the last Tennessee player to lead the SEC in an offensive category. So congratulations. You are the winner, and that's well done on your part, John.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. It's just kind of a guess.
Yep. Well, hey, those work too. But hang on the line so we can get your prize information, and I know you'll enjoy the heck out of your prize tonight, as it's a very tasty one. But thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. So, again, here's what John has won, a $25 gift certificate to Proper Popcorn. There is their location, 9700 Kingston Pike, as well as 29 Market Square. And you can visit online at properpopcorn.com. It's the perfect place for a family outing, date night, or getting a gift for a loved one. You can impress your coworkers or business associates with a unique gift they'll actually want. You can grab your next potluck contribution or Tennessee tailgate snack or watch party snack from them, and you're sure to be the hit of the party. Proper Popcorn, your one-stop shop for homegrown goodness and handcrafted cravings. Again, located 9700 Kingston Pike, 29 Market Square, or at properpopcorn.com. It was earlier today that Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes met the media via Zoom, took questions about what will be the start of a lengthy road trip for Tennessee. They'll be gone for almost a week, as first they'll head west for a Saturday game against Colorado in Boulder against the Buffaloes, and then they'll head back east. They'll actually go up to Madison Square Garden and then take on Texas Tech on Tuesday. So here's what Coach Barnes had to say about his team and the matchups upcoming.
Rick, just in terms of your rotation, I know the other night you talked about giving these guys as much time and maybe till Christmas and letting them kind of figure it out on their own in terms of production, but how do you battle that or worry about the team chemistry or the chemistry of a 5-7 coming together while also allowing them time to kind of sort things out in the rotation?
I think with what we do in practice every day and the competition and the fact that we're always mixing teams and matching things up in practice and flipping jerseys, the guys understand each other. And I think that we're still, as we're going through this, learning the, good rotations that we feel comfortable with when guys are out there. We try to keep some older guys out there sometimes when we go with earlier in the year. But now that we've got some experience with most of these young guys in general, that we can sort of do what we do in practice every day, where we're really not that concerned with the lineups that we have, because we know that the guys that we put out there, they know what we're doing, what we need to get done. And the chemistry, I think, it takes place a lot in the locker room too. I think it goes back to leadership from our older guys and our younger guys as they continue to understand the game and realize how valuable minutes are, and realize too that it's a long year, a lot can change. And as long as they'll continue to work, I've told them all, as long as they continue to work and put the team first, good things will work out for everybody.
Rick, is it crazy to think back a year ago to how you guys were scrambling to get teams like Colorado on the schedule, such a last-minute move? And how unique is it to have a two-game road trip in the regular season where it's not really a tournament setting? It's just kind of how the schedule played out.
Well, I think it is unique. And the fact, and you're right, this last year, this time, we made up two of those games that we scheduled at, we were on the fly last year, obviously UT Martin being one of them, and Colorado now being the other one, where we had the and we were thankful that they were able to do it. Last year, Tad was able to come here, which helped us because, we had coming off just having a couple of days of practice prior to that. But it's been unique. And then going on this trip, I think it's going to be a big week for us. We're playing two outstanding teams and a true road game here early, then obviously a neutral site game up in New York. And we're going to, I say it every time we go out, we have a chance to learn something about ourselves and see if we can continue to do what we need to do to get better. And hopefully we'll continue to find something out about us in these next two games.
Rick, in the scrimmages and exhibition game, you were taking over 40 threes. Now you've kind of settled into 20 to 30 in your most recent games. Is that the number you would like to see as far as three-point attempts?
I think it varies, Jimmy. When early in the year when we were playing, John wasn't with us either. We weren't playing as much through the post because we were still working on developing those other guys to do that. And plus, we're playing teams that were way back in there, giving us that shot. And I think to create confidence, to get guys to shoot the ball, we tell them all the time, if we're open, we're going to shoot it, because we take great pride in the work ethic that these guys have put into their – becoming good shooters. And but the number, we don't have a set number. We want open shots. I mean, they're hard to come by, but when we move the ball the way we want to move it, we think that we'll get those opportunities. But we don't have a set number. Early in the year, the reason the numbers were that high was simply we weren't playing inside as much as we would like to have that balance, and we're getting there now.
Yeah, Rick, where is Jonas at this point, and what's it going to take for him to be in a place where he might be able to contribute more than kind of end of game minutes?
Mike, that's a really good question. It really is. The best way I can answer it for you would be it will be his practice habits. It'll be what he does in practice. I mean, he has shown us here in the last week or so that he's still behind because of the time he missed, but we do know that he can help us, and we think that, as I said earlier, it's a long time between now and the end of the year. He does give us something that we don't have out there most of the time, is great length. I mean, every day in practice, he affects shot when he's out there. As he continues to get himself in the kind of shape that we need him to be in speed-wise and play at the pace that we're playing at, I think will probably be that determining factor, along with arguably the most important thing is understanding our defensive scheme away from the basket. Realizing that he's going to have to get out there quicker. He can't give up separation when his man runs from under, because he's going to be in a lot of ball screens. As much as we talked about our guards learning how to play ball screens, these young guys, it's the same is true for post guys. And you give up great separation coming out from underneath the basket, it's hard for those guards to do their jobs. And when you're playing from behind, it really put you almost in rotation every time. I think that once he really gets that part of it down and continues to do what we need him to do on the offensive end, I can only tell you this, we have confidence in him, but he's going to have to get there quickly.
What have you seen from Euros that maybe you've liked the last few weeks, and then some things that he needs to improve on and maybe continue to play the minutes he has?
Well, we like what he does in practice. And what we want to see is him to do exactly what he does in practice, as opposed to, I mentioned it the other night, sometimes he gets in the game, I think he feels he's looking to score more than he does in practice. And obviously all the shots around the rim, I mean, they're not easy. Those aren't gimmies by any means when the traffic is going on there and you've got to play in tight space. But I like to see not just him, but all of our guys, finish more of those shots around the rim. But if he will just do what he normally does every day in practice, you got to cut down fouling because he's gets himself in foul trouble by leaning a little bit more than he should at times, or using his upper body more inside, trying to play post defense that way. But if he will just do what he does in practice, there's no doubt he will continue to help us.
Coach, just Colorado, what jumps out at you about them on the scout? What are you worried about? What do they do well? What do you have to stop?
Well, one, Tad does a terrific job with his teams. They're explosive offensively, terrific inside player that can create all kind of problems for you. And we're going to have to, again, collectively as a team, guard the way I think we're capable of. Last year, they played a lot of 2-3 zones, so we will certainly expect to see that some, because it's definitely stifled us in some ways where, we were up, had a pretty good lead, and they fall back, which they would do anyway. But so we're expecting to see some of that. And but with that said, it's about us, again, trying to see what it's going to be like with our first real road game and seeing how we respond to it.
Rick, in terms of Kennedy Chandler, what do you like most about what you've seen from him so far?
Well, what I like now is after, he didn't have such a great performance against Tennessee Tech, where we didn't feel had prepared the way he needs to prepare. The next couple of days, that's what we're proud of, because he did. He understood everything. Every game counts. And not to, you know, even when you've had the success that he's had, not to start feeling too good about yourself and not thinking you have it figured out. And not that he did that. He's just young. And but he showed great character, great discipline in the way after the Tennessee Tech game, how he fought back and really worked in practice. And the other night defensively, arguably the best effort he's had all year, really trying to do the things that we wanted to see him do. And Kennedy has a chance to, again, to be as good as he wants to be, but it's going to be a price that you have to pay to get there. And we have confidence in him that he wants to do it.
Yeah, Rick, do you expect Josiah available in these next two games? And what sort of things is he able to do in practice at this point, just with the injury, to kind of keep him involved?
I don't know. I haven't talked to Chad today yet about it. You know, he goes through some of the warm-up that we do in practice, but he hasn't had any contact in practice yet. He still has to as I said, we've got so much trust in him, and know he will let us know when he thinks he can be effective out there doing whatever it is he thinks he can help us with. But he's doing his part in any and every way he can to keep himself in his shape, taking care of his body, staying engaged with game plans, and helping those guys and being the leader that we talked about, he and those older guys being for our team this year.
With your past spending some time coaching in the Big East, what does it mean to go play a game up in Madison Square Garden?
Well, through the years, whether we were after leaving Providence, because, you know, obviously every year having the Big East championship game there, and we were fortunate to win it our last year at Providence, and even when Clemson, Texas, wherever we've been, we've always felt it to be very important to play up in the Northeast. It's the one thing I learned leaving George Mason going to up into New England was just how big basketball is in the northeastern part of the country. I mean, people love it up there. And I think it'll be a really great thrill for our guys to walk in Madison Square Garden. It's, as we know, the Mecca of college basketball. And not sure what it's going to be like traveling into New York this time of year. It's always been, a very vibrant area and city, and somewhere that I've always enjoyed going back to. And but going to play a team that's in Texas Tech, who's finding their way and playing really good. I watched them play last night. They had a great game against Providence College last night. And but for our players, I think that if they don't know what it means to play in the Garden, I think that once they get up there and start thinking about it and talking about the history of it, they'll realize that it's something that they should hold special.
My guess is they will very much appreciate the opportunity to play in Madison Square Garden. They'll do that next week after finishing this week in Boulder, Colorado. And this is Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson. It has been the grand prize giveaway of the Bud Light New Year's in Nashville contest here at Drake's on Morrell Road, right across the street from Westtown Mall. And we're right in the neighborhood of one Will West, who was kind enough to handle the reverse drawing. Will, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on here, John. I appreciate it.
Well, sure do appreciate
it. Usually the show with respectability doesn't allow me on. So the fact that I was able to finagle a headset, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, you know good people. So we had the reverse drawing, and we say congratulations, I believe, to Dexter Ritchie. Is that correct?
Dexter Ritchie, that's right. We had
man standing.
He was. And this was a little different, because a lot of times, when you hear we'll do 99 qualifiers for the big ticket, this is a fantastic grand prize. It's Old Crow Medicine Show at the Ryman. It's tickets to the Predators against the Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena. It's tickets to the Titans Dolphins. $750 spending cash off from Bud Light. So, but there were only 40 qualifiers in this, so it was a smaller group. So, yeah, congratulations to Dexter. He's a Steelers fan. We won't hold that against him, but nonetheless, Dexter's going to be able to go to Nashville and enjoy the new year and have some cash in his pocket while he does it.
Oh, yeah, what a fantastic prize, and we sure do appreciate Bud Light and Eagle Distributing for making this possible once again, because it's always fun when you get to finish the year this way.
Absolutely, it really is. And so this is, you're right, to finish the year this way, that is so cool. It's as cool of a grand prize as we've done. They actually had I mean, I think like a $400 cooler that they gave away is the second prize. We had a couple $100 cornhole boards that were given away as the third prize. So
yeah.
Everybody left here with something in hand, which is really cool. So thank you to Eagle Distributing. Thank you for Bud Light for making that happen. Did you get any food here at Drake's yet?
Going with the chicken tenders.
Going with the chicken. The chicken tenders.
Have you gotten anything yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wore out sushi and dumplings. So I had the tuna lover sushi and the pork dumplings, and they were amazing as always.
Yeah, the food here is outstanding, and we sure do appreciate this as serving as the finish line today. But what can we look forward to tomorrow morning on the starting lineup?
Well, look, we're getting ready for bowl season, right? By the time we all get back on the air on Monday, we know where Tennessee's bowl placement will be. So we're going to go through literally everybody. Who has Tennessee where in the bowl projections tomorrow? We'll do that. We'll also get everyone ready for championship weekend. There are a lot of really close lines there on championship weekend. Some
yes.
games that could get weird, especially I look at that Alabama-Georgia game, and I think Vegas has that at 6.5. What do they know that we don't, right? Well, as poorly as Alabama's looked the last few weeks. So I think, I mean, and let's be honest, it'd be the most Nick Saban thing in the world to knock off Kirby. It'd be the most Jim Harbaugh thing in the world to lose to Iowa in that game. So it could get weird. And honestly, Cincinnati right now, they're in the top four. There's a lot of thought that if Alabama beats Georgia, they're out. Or if Alabama, Georgia are close and Oklahoma State blows out Baylor,
yep.
that Cincinnati still might not be in.
Yep.
So we have a lot of talking points to get to when it comes to the college football playoff this year that we'll talk about in the starting lineup tomorrow.
Yes. If the Bearcats indeed get the win over Houston, which the Cougars would love to rain on their parade.
Well, and that's a good Houston team, too. They're 11-1. They only lost to Texas Tech opening week of the season.
Yeah. They ended SMU's unbeaten run,
yep.
and I think it should be a whole lot of fun, but I think they're going to be holding their breath in Bearcats land even with a win, so we'll see. But, Will, thank you so much, and have a great show in the morning, and we'll talk to you Sunday.
Well, we rarely do have a great show, but because you said so, John, we'll decide to do that tomorrow. But, yes, looking forward to it on the NFL Report on Sunday.
Yes, and that'll be here closer at over at Lakeside Tavern.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
But anyhow, we've digressed enough. Congratulations to Dexter Ritchie, who is the grand prize winner of the Bud Light New Year's in Nashville contest. We say thank you to Bud Light, thank you to Eagle Distributing, and thank you to everybody that hosted us through this contest. I'm John Wilkerson here at Drake's, where again, the grand prize has been given away, and it went to Dexter Ritchie, as he was the last man standing in the Bud Light New Year's in Nashville contest. Congratulations to him. Solid performance last night as the Tennessee Lady Vols beat Tennessee Tech 76-48. Here's what Coach Kelly Harper had to say after the win.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about the win. I thought our team did a nice job of making adjustments throughout the game. Obviously, we gave up too many points, in my opinion, in the first quarter. Their game plan was to try to pull us out. We were overhelping. Had to make some adjustments, and I thought our team actually responded well to those adjustments. Took us another quarter to kind of feel good about it, but I thought the third quarter we held their scoring down to 5, and I think it's because we guarded on the ball better, and I was proud of that. You know, we're able to put points on the board in a lot of different ways, and that's a good sign.
Coach, everyone knows Alexis Dye can score, but she really let loose tonight, especially with that little elbow jumper. I think she had 8 straight points to close that second quarter. How key was Alexis tonight?
Well, I think, you know, at a time where, especially early on, we were struggling a little bit, she was able to be the consistent player for us on the offensive end. And let me tell you, she loves that jump shot. I mean, loves that jump shot. And when she gets lift, when she has good legs under and gets lift, she shoots a really good percentage. We've seen it in practice a lot, seen it in some drills. And here last day or two, noticed it. She and I actually even talked about it. I said, you know, just get it up, and it's going in. And, you know, she's one that once she makes one, she may make three more.
Coach, offensively, these last couple of games, you all have been kind of finding your groove a little bit. What's been kind of working the best for you all offensively these last few games?
Well, I think we've been in a little bit better rhythm offensively with our shots. I think we've had pretty good balance. We get the ball inside, we drive, and we kick to some shooters now. Obviously, Tess and Sarah both making some threes makes a difference for our basketball team. We got a couple easy ones in transition, so that's good to see. You know, a high percentage shooting team typically gets easy shots, right? And so we've got to continue to find – find easy shots. We've been working really hard on our offense. We've put a lot of time into it. Tonight in the first quarter, I was kicking myself for not working a little bit more defense prior to the game, but we've been working hard on our offense to try to catch that up a little bit.
5 3-pointers tonight is the most you guys have made all season, and that's thanks to Tess Darby. I mean, how happy are you with her progression of confidence and shooting and really making an impact on offense now?
Yeah, you know, Tess is doing what we felt like she could do for us. You know, we've seen it all the whole summer and fall, that she can really knock down shots. It makes things easier for everyone else when you've got someone out there that can stretch the defense. And, you know, I'm happy for our team because it makes our offense smoother and easier, but I'm also really happy for her. You know, and she's doing what she needs to do for us, and I'm proud of her.
Improved offensively these last few games. What worries you about this team offensively getting to where you wanted them to get to? What's the concern? What's the obstacle you have to hurdle?
You know, I still think we can be better, more efficient. You know, obviously you pick up stat sheets, it's easy to pull out the turnovers. You know, we have to eliminate the turnovers for no reason, right? You know, just the hand it to the other team turnovers. We've got to eliminate those. You know, I still think we've got to, we may still have to manufacture some points somewhere. Maybe got to get to the free throw line a little bit more. May need to try to find some more scores in transition. So there's still concerns there. I don't think after a couple games of, you know, a decent offense that we've arrived. So we will continue to work on it. We'll continue to add and tweak things as we go through the season as well. And, you know, still going to show some things to our team about better offensive efficiency.
Coach, congratulations on the win. You opened up talking about how you were glad with the win, but still some things you can work on, like you were just talking about. Do you feel like during these games and in the next few games leading up to teams like Stanford and conference play, do you think you're learning good things about your team to be able to take on those teams?
Yeah, you know, I think this game was good because it's a different style. We have not played this style where we've had 5 people behind the 3-point line. It's the first time this season, so that was really good for us now to have that to draw on. You know, the thing that I'm excited about right now, our team after the game, very happy about the win, and they should be. I don't even say disappointed. I think they wish they would have been better in some areas, especially in that first quarter. They felt like we gave up too many points, but it's not taken away from the win. So I think they're in a really good space mentally to learn from everything that happens, to learn from these wins. Because a lot of teams, you get to a point, and really your next step, you got to lose, so you can learn from that, right? And hopefully our team will continue the path that we're on. We're really learning after every win, and that's a good thing, a really good thing. And hopefully we can just keep building, just one step at a time, just a little bit better each day. And that's how you progress as a basketball team.
Coach, going back to Alexis Dye, you know, her not only being able to knock down those jump shots, but also the experience that she has, having played at several different programs. You know, how much do you think she means to this team right now?
Well, I think she gives us a great spark. I think she's usually really good defensively, and she's been really good on the boards, and she's very aggressive offensively, and I think those things matter. I think she complements some of our other players really well. We can move her around a little bit, a little bit inside, a little bit outside. So I think she's a big part of what we're doing. She has pretty good poise. And I think her poise comes from that experience that you're talking about. You know, she's been through a lot. She's seen a lot. Even though she's a first-year Tennessee Lady Vols, she's a very experienced college basketball player.
This is the fourth game that Tamariki has scored at least a double-double. What do you feel like that says about her consistency and the play that she is going to be for you guys this season?
I'm so proud of her. I think consistency is the word for her. She's really showing a lot of maturity. She's showing a lot of confidence right now, and those things are leading to that consistency. You know, she wants the ball on the block. She feels good about what she can do with the basketball. She feels good about her board play. So, you know, I think that the one thing I'd said, she was continuing to grow. She's got all the tools. She's continuing to grow mentally and continuing to be an experienced basketball player on the court. And I think we're seeing that. It's just fun to watch.
Coach, you all gave up 5 points in the third quarter. What adjustment did you make at halftime to fix your defensive play?
Yeah, so what we had to do, our guards, I thought, in the first half were relying on help too much. So we were over-helping and not getting deflections, and they were able to find open players. In the second half, we did a much better job guarding one-on-one, taking away help or the need for help. And I thought that was the difference.
Coach, I would ask you how Kaya Wynn was with the face shield, but based on the way she played, she seems to be fine. I also want to ask you about Virginia Tech. I know you haven't really had time to look at them yet, but what challenge that presents on Sunday. And then sort of related, you were a student, I mean, a few years ago. You remember this time of year.
You're kind.
Where you're trying to balance basketball, final exams. Just how much have they got on their plate right now?
First, I think Kai's doing a good job. She feels good. Unfortunately, she's going to wear a mask for a while. And then the finals of Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech first. All right, Virginia Tech, the challenge that they bring, they've got a pro post player. I mean, she's really good, tall, big, can score. And then they surround her with three-point shooters. So that is the challenge. They're well coached, and they can really stroke it. So without going into great detail right now, I do know those are two big challenges for us. This time I think it's really important that we try to balance our players' time. Right now we're going into finals. We're pretty good. We're going to have some people grind it out because we got a chance to have a pretty good GPA. And so my challenge to them is to really buckle down and work hard in this next week. Oh, yeah, but we play. So what we're going to do, tomorrow is an off day. They are thrilled about the off day. There's no travel on this off day. There's no practice. There's no class. Some of them will have study sessions. Some of them will have some rehab. But it is a true off day. I think they've deserved it. They really earned this one. And hopefully it can help take off some stress academically and get their bodies recovered athletically. And then we'll get back out on the court on Friday for a practice, travel on Saturday. We'll travel, make sure they get some study hall in the travel. Next week we'll have probably a couple days off during finals, a little bit more than normal during finals week. But we try to make sure that they have ample opportunity to study and take care of their coursework in this last week.
Yeah, Coach, just your thoughts on how Caroline Stripling played there at the end and this team's depth as a whole.
Caroline gives us great energy when she comes in the game. And, I thought offensively she did a really good job of posting up, looking for the ball. She always wants the ball. She's one of the best post-up players that we have on the team. She's still learning to play with the size that sometimes our opponents give us tonight. She was a little bit on the positive side versus Tennessee Tech. Just getting her some good experience, I think, is important to us. Defensively, she's not had to guard perimeter players like she had to tonight, so that was a good challenge for her. So I was proud of her. She's a fighter and comes in with positive energy every single day. She's also one of the most determined kids I've ever coached. I said this in the fall. I will still say it. She's one that's just going to figure out the problem at hand. She's going to work through something until she gets it right. So she's going to be good. She's going to be really good for us.
I want to go back to the three-point shooting a little bit. Still only 5 three-pointers. I know before the season that's something you wanted to really incorporate into the offense a little more. Is that still something you want to push to improve in the offense, or is it kind of just take them as they come?
Well, I think we've got to take good threes. You know, we're probably not going to be a team that needs to take 25 threes a game. You know, it's just not going to be who we are, and that's okay. But we need to be able to knock some down for sure. So, you know, we've got to be able to find good open threes in rhythm, and we have to take those. Sometimes even taking them in rhythm, that gives you a better opportunity to rebound your misses. So, you know, it would be nice to be able to put a few more on there, but I don't think it – I don't think that we want to overhaul what we're doing, taking away some twos for some of those threes.
Comments from Kelly Harper as the Lady Vols again got the win last night over Tennessee Tech 76-48. Night four of Hanukkah, and we wish happy holidays to everyone. But again, happy Hanukkah. What we'll do is bring you just a couple of comments here. Won't have time for all of them. We could drop those in tomorrow. But here's what Candace Parker had to say about a relationship or a dislike for one another with Gino Auriemma, Team USA, and more.
Talk to me about your relationship with USA Basketball.
I don't have one. I don't have one. I'm happy for them. When Chelsea is, and especially Nafisa Collier are my two that I'm really close with. You know, I don't have one. And I think it goes from the fact that I think that when you evolve with time, that's when you're at your best. And I don't know if USA Basketball has continually evolved with time. And then also, I also believe that there are so many times where just tell me and then I won't waste my time. Like if that was the stipulations. And so I think it was very interesting for me personally to have a situation where I went to a camp. I got a triple double at the camp, was I think first or second in scoring. Like it wasn't on the court.
Yeah.
So if it's me as an individual, as a person, I'm spending time away from my daughter to come and do these camps that I'm not even being judged off of how I'm playing.
What do you think you were judged off of?
I don't think I personally fit. I don't think Gino wanted me on the team. So I think it's one of those things where it's like, cool, like just tell me. And then don't, you know, beat around the bush, like just tell people. And so I think now we're reaching a point where players are becoming more empowered. And I've said this about the NBA for a very, very, very long time. They started becoming, and I know the NBA has been a process, but when the way that they empower their players, where they have a voice, they have a say, they talk to them, they're honest with things. Mm-hmm. Like the way in which they handle NBA basketball, USA basketball, like there's some people it didn't matter. They were untouchable. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? And so I think that based off of, like, I knew as soon as he was named the coach again, I was like, oh, well,
so why,
this is going to be interesting.
Why do you think that is?
Actually, we'll pick that up tomorrow. But anyhow, that's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk. Again, we say congratulations to Dexter Ritchie, our grand prize winner in the Bud Light New Year's in Nashville. We appreciate Drake's. Thanks for listening to Sports Talk.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.